You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, Vankas.
Hello, Vankas.
How's everybody fucking doing? We're here for your net for the last fucking 10 of pros and cons of fucking drivers. We ended the last episode by me going on a fucking rant about how Esteban Ocon's fucking annoying. And ending off strong, 10 out of 10. And yeah. We're here to bring you the fucking rest of the grid. So, Matt, let's start with the other Alpine driver.
Fernando Alonso. Also didn't come from a lot. Okay, so if you like a distant, flawed, powerful patriarch, this is the guy for you. Mm-hmm. If Vettel is Bob Dylan, if Lewis is the Beatles, he's kind of like the Velvet Underground of drivers' championships. He's gritty. He's dark. He's Lou Reed. He's fucked up.
Yes, he's fucking Lou Reed.
Fucking Lou Reed. You're like, well, if you want to be like, if someone goes, I love Hamilton, he's just so successful and I love his fashion, and someone else is like, I love Vettel, he loves the environment, and you just want to go, I love Fernando Alonso because he fucks shit up. That's your vibe. You know what I mean? If you just want to be the Dark Lord of the conversation, Alonso's your man. And he's also a really good driver. He's such a good driver that he's pulled so much shit and he's still in the sport is just a testament to how great he is. So his cons. So when you hear all his cons, they're actually pros because he's able to overcome his own douchebaggery with his driving skills.
It's worth noting that like this year he has 13 more points than Esteban Ocon, and Esteban Ocon won a fucking race this year. Yeah. He has more points, and part of the reason that he won the race is because fucking Alonso was in the fucking back taking the beaches of Normandy for fucking Ocon.
Like Grandpa Richie.
Just like my fucking grandfather who fucking was a Jew fighting the fucking Nazis, so don't come for me.
You know trauma is inherited, so that's be nice to Brian.
Truly, fully on the phone with my sister today, discussing our family trauma.
but you know, when you have trauma, it goes in your DNA, and you could pass it on. So if your grandpa saw some shit in one of those several or one concentration camp that he liberated, it could have gone into his fucking genome, and then he could have squirted it into Glenn. Which I've honestly makes some sense.
Something's in there.
There's a darkness in there.
There's a darkness that he's.
There's
that
a little bit of Fernando Alonso and Glenn.
There is Fernando Alonso and Glenn Muller.
And that's why Brian likes Fernando a little bit.
Well, yeah, that's why likes and hates. Depending on my relationship with my father this week.
And we could talk shit about Glenn Muller because he is a lot like Alonso and doesn't listen to this podcast.
That's right.
So
though he does keep watching our TikToks, and I see every time he watches it, I see it. It's like your friend, and it's my dad's like TikTok account that no one follows, but it's like I know when he's watching our TikToks.
Okay. We'll put this one on for the TikTok so you can maybe have a conversation with him. So the cons are, and we're going to do a whole episode on Alonso because he's so interesting. But he blackmailed McLaren. He blackmailed because Lewis was too fast, essentially.
Yeah, so I mean, if you don't know, it's like when Lewis came in to F1, he joined McLaren and Alonso was top dog when he was there, and he had just won a championship?
Fernando, I just no. Fernando just left Ferrari in a bad situation because I mean, there's a there's like the five biggest scandals in Formula One, and Alonso's involved in like three of them. So he had just left Ferrari in like a haze of controversy. I think like that was an ugly situation. He got to McLaren. He's like, I'm gonna be top dog here. I'm gonna beat the shit out of this rookie Lewis Hamilton schmacko.
Right.
And then it didn't happen, obviously, because he's like the greatest driver ever, arguably.
Yeah. And Lewis almost won his first year.
Lewis almost beat him his first year, and Alonso was basically wanting team orders to go into effect, and Ron Dennis, head of McLaren, was like, no, Lewis is my boy, and I've basically been like sponsoring Lewis since he was 11. And then Fernando Alonso basically blackmailed. He found out that McLaren had stolen information from Ferrari. So he said, hey, you're going to put Lewis in his place or I'm going to expose you to Ferrari. And basically the whole thing blew up and McLaren ended up being fined $100 million and forfeiting their contention in the Constructors' Championship. And this is what a great driver Fernando Alonso is he ended up driving for them later on.
Yeah, not only driving for them, like, doming them, too. Yeah. Like, completely,
they were begging
like,
him not to retire.
Yeah, they were just like, whatever you say, Fernando, whatever you say.
So, yeah, that's Fernando Alonso. Next up, number 9 in the Drivers' Championship. I think it's you think he should be higher, but there's a conspiracy. Pierre Gasly.
Yes.
And this is going to be really long in the pros and real non-existent with the cons because
this is your boy.
Full disclosure, I am gay for Gasly.
Yeah, so I think
gay for Gasly.
Yeah, let's explore that a little bit. Why do you think you're so attached to Pierre Gasly?
Because like we said before, you see yourself in drivers. Like you like the drivers that you see a piece of yourself in them.
Right.
And Gasly is wounded. He is aggrieved. Something was taken from him. He is overlooked. I guess I feel that way. I feel, you know, I guess I was This is unpacking Matt's childhood. I was an overlooked twin. I had a twin sister with a disability. I don't want to say disability. She has autism, and she was a challenge growing up. And my sister, you know, sucked all the air out of the room and got a lot of the attention. And that's kind of and that's how I see. And I was kind of stewing in the corner. And when I see Gasly just fucking smoldering in AlphaTauri, I see myself, you know?
Right.
I'm just rooting for him to get his time in the sun. Mm-hmm. And I guess if you've ever felt like you were overlooked, not respected, stepped over, that primal feeling, you know, an overlooked a sibling, you're going to love Gasly. And he drives angry and pissed off. I think if you're a millennial, you know, he is My Chemical Romance. He is Fallout Boy. He is the emo driver of the grid.
Yeah.
If you like anime, you know, Dragon Ball, he basically looks like an anime character. So that's sort of, you know, you're going down, 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 down. That's fucking Gasly. That's what I'll say. And cons, there are no cons. I will brook no criticism.
Well, I'll give some cons.
What I'll say
is kind of the con for Gasly is that he does kind of, he shows He walks around with this fucking chip on his shoulder that sometimes it feels a little bit like he's still like in the press talking about like that, you know, it should be mice. It's like he's kind of droning on about it. It's kind of like when someone like breaks up with you.
He can't let things go. If you can't let things go, if you're like Larry David about slights,
it's so Pierre Gasly's your boy. The amount of times that Matt will fucking, like, bring up some shit that happened in, like, sixth grade and be like, I just don't trust that person. And I was like, why? He's like, well, like, in sixth grade, like, he broke my phone and then he I got in trouble for it and then he lied and said that he didn't break my phone. And Matt's, like, still walking around holding that shit. That's Gasly in the press talking about how the Red Bull seat should be his.
Yes. Yes. If you don't like that, then you don't like Gasly or me. It's a direct, because that's what happens is when you attack these drivers on TikTok, it's like you're attacking them because they see themselves in the drivers.
I know. Crazy. That's why people react so violently when we talk shit about
you. You didn't go out to dinner with Lance Stroll. What are you worried about?
Oh my God. People on our fucking talking about the fucking Ocon video are like, they're like, well, if he invited the other drivers, they probably would have come. And it's like, you don't know these people. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. My con for him is...
Yeah, what's your con for him?
He feels kind of basic to me.
He feels kind
of basic. Like, I mean, if you like basic people, that's good. But, like, he seems kind of basic. Like, he dyed his hair blonde, like...
Yeah, he has, like, frosted tips.
Frosted tips, like, he's fucking, like, it's in sync or something. And,
yeah, he likes, like, all of, like, Logan Paul's Instagrams, and he, like...
But at least he has a personality. Like, he's, like, if you look at his Instagram, like, the people he follows, it's like, oh, this is a real person. Like, he likes, like, a lot of regular people. Like, he likes the fat Jewish. He likes Lad Bible. Like, he's a genuine... Right.
He's a basic bro.
But if you like look at who Lewis follows, it's all just blue checkmark people like, that you know that he's met.
Whereas
Gasly's met none of the people. He's just fans of the people. He's like a regular dude.
He's never like hung out with Logan Paul. He just like thinks that he's cool.
He just thinks Logan Paul's cool. Like,
and you know what? And you know what? For the record, so do I.
Okay, and I want to say another thing that Gasly said in an interview, which is the wildest thing and the most kind of basic, not thought out thing I've ever heard. Yeah. So he was asked on a Formula One Pravda website, the F1 website. Yeah, yeah. They said, softball question. And he managed to say the wildest answer. He said, Pierre, you can invite three people to dinner, living or dead. Who do you invite? So Pierre Gasly says, Ayrton Senna, Michael Schumacher, and Barack Obama. I think they all made a difference. What a statement from Pierre Gasly. So, you know, Barack Obama did the Iran deal, Obamacare, Paris Climate Accords, got us out of recession, but Senna in Portugal in the wet? I mean, come on. I mean, can you just imagine? But, like, think about that dinner. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like they're talking about, like, those three are talking about racing lines, and what's Obama doing? He's just sitting there being like, what the fuck are these guys talking about? It's the wackest dinner. Keep it consistent. Invite Prost or something. Invite Fangio. Don't invite Obama your way. Like, they're just... You know, I mean, the thing is...
There's going to be so much... It's like, there's going to be so much, like, time, like... just getting on to something that they can all talk about. You know what I mean?
What is Schumacher, Senna, and Obama, and Gasly all going to be able to talk about? Food's good. It's a good steak. I like this steak. Yeah.
I would have thought that maybe given you know his tendency that he would have invited like fucking like Calvin Harris. He's like, I just think he makes a difference, you know?
The fact that they all made a difference, although, you know, Trump undid a lot of this shit, but those championships are forever.
Yeah, so next up we got Daniel Ricciardo. And, babe, this is a complicated one because I mean, he's played with us, and we were sold a bill of goods that we thought that was maybe not, but now all of a sudden it's like, you know, he left, he had his glow up, and now he's making eyes at us, and I'm kind of like, oh, am I back on the fucking, I'm back on the Ricardo train? Mm-hmm. And I mean, let's go over the pros. Well, you know what? Let's go over the cons first. I guess like the cons are that he's just like a little too fucking cheeky. He's just a little too cheeky. He's just having a little too much of a good time. And he, you know, I mean, watching season one of Drive to Survive, it's kind of, you're like, what the fuck? It's like, this guy, he had the promise of being great, and then he fucking fucks with you, and he's just, like, only doing it for the cameras. And he's just, like, he's just wearing too many party shirts and going on too many interviews and making too many jokes. And it just kind of fucking like grinds my fucking gears for a long time. But you know what? It's interesting because this season has really fucked with him, and it goes back to what we've said many times, which is that like, it's like, I think maybe for everyone, it's on some level a universal thing. You want to watch someone like go through the shit and then come out on the other side. Mm-hmm. And this year on McLaren, he's been going through the shit. He's been having a shit time. And it wiped that little pretty smile off of his face. And the last 2 weeks, we've seen him fucking come back and not fucking only mean mug for the cameras and put in some fucking great laps and some great times. And he won a race. He got in fourth last week. And it's fucking, it's good to have him back.
Yeah. Well, he never actually, if you listen to him speak, he, after the race, he said he actually never left. He just,
yeah, he never left. Yeah. He said he never left, but he was like, even that was like a little bit annoying. It was like, okay, well.
Well, I think it's so weird. He seems so natural and fun loving. And then he realized that was his appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, how can I be more natural and more fun loving and more charming and more funny? And now it's this pushed thing. That we don't.
Right.
Like. And he's also stopped winning all the time. So
right.
Then you just become the funny guy. He's like, I'm the funny guy. But it's like we've said this before, which is being the funny guy in F1 is easy.
Yeah. It's when you're surrounded by fucking, when you're surrounded by the Kimi Raikkonens of the world, it's like you can crack a single joke and everyone's like,
because you can cut the tension with a knife.
You can cut the tension. It's like tension. Comedy is built off of tension. It's tension relief. And there's so much tension in Formula One that him asking Lando if he has pubes is going to be gonna, like, everyone's like, he's crazy, this guy. This guy's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, we love him. It's like, the reason why people like him is because he's hot. Let's be honest.
He's got a great
nose.
We love him.
We love him because he's fucking, he's a hottie. He's got a fucking gorgeous schnoz.
Mm-hmm.
He is approachable and funny and like, he's someone that you can actually like, yeah, it's like for a long time, it's like kind of like he's the one taking the piss out of the thing. And the thing is, and Formula One is so tense that you're kind of like, oh, finally someone's doing it. But then that became the shtick. It's not dissimilar from like how Haas is now, you know, Mad TV, and they're just doing sketch comedy and doing shtick. That it's kind of like, well, it's too much of that thing. You can't. You have to have the actual foundation of the,
right.
of the killer driver
right.
to then play off of.
Right.
But then he got lost in the character. But now he's found his way back. Because he actually,
he's like any great actor, like Nicholson or Walken, or they just become caricatures of themselves.
Right.
So we love Ricardo. You know, if you like the fun loving guy, the charming guy, the Australian guy,
yeah,
you're going to love Ricardo. Next up is Leclerc.
Mm-hmm.
He is basically F1, him and Sainz basically are F1's One Direction. They're just the hotties. They're the beautiful, talented hotties.
They're the fucking hotties.
Yeah.
Those two boys are fucking making me question my fucking sexuality.
Right. If you I mean, if you're just an aesthete, I think is the word. If you're just into aesthetics, you just want your things to be pretty. You don't care about personality. You don't care about wounds. You don't care about. You're just like, give me the prettiest. Give me, like, you just want to date the hottest girl or the hottest guy.
Yes.
Like, and personality is just way secondary to you. Like, you don't even read the profile in the Hinge. You just look at the picture. You don't even read it. You just look at the picture and then and decide based on the picture. LeClaire is your fucking boy. I'm not even saying that he has a bad personality. I'm not even saying that.
Right.
But his the way he looks is so overpowering to everything else that it's all just tertiary.
Yeah.
Jenny said, Aunt Jenny said, I have never seen someone so attractive in my life. And you're telling me he's actually from Monaco and speaks French, Italian, and English? Okay, plus he has the cinematic origin story about Jules, his godfather, who always wanted to drive for Ferrari and sadly died in a crash. So Charles has been laser focused on driving for Ferrari for Jules and uphold his legacy. I might start crying thinking about this. Also, days after his father died, Charles raced in Baku in F2.
And he won that race.
And he won the race. Also, I don't understand how someone that handsome. Oh, this is a good point. Also, I don't understand how someone that handsome, like, he's not just hot, he is Disney Prince handsome, also seems very down-earth and nice. I've seen plenty of the Twitch crew's content, and he's also just comes off as a dweeby gamer. It's as if he was kept in a basement his entire life and only recently emerged not understanding the significance of how good he looks. He's also a fantastic driver. So I want to dig into this.
Yeah.
He is the most handsome guy, just, like, straight up how he looks. But he doesn't come off, like, he's not the number one, he's not even the number five guy I would feel, like, least comfortable leaving my girlfriend with.
Uh-huh.
He's so unthreatening.
Right.
In terms of his sexual, he doesn't have, like, he doesn't seem like he fucks. Like, he seems, like, nerdy. And by the way, before we really dig into the con side of this, this is all dependent on us not being, because we might be able to meet him at some point, in which case we're going to have to delete this and then kill everyone who listened to it somehow. So,
that's right.
Because I'm 2 degrees separated from Charles and Brian's 1 degree separate. So
that's right. But I don't think it's happening soon because I don't think it's happening at this year at fucking Austin. But what I will say, you know what's interesting? You know what I was just thinking about? You've seen the movie. What's the interview, the James Franco, where they go to interview? Yeah.
Yes.
So in that, it's like James Franco plays this like e-news, like he owes like an e-news talk show. Right. And like they show him in the different things, and then it's just like ridiculous heightened thing of each celebrity. And he goes, and next up we have Joseph Gordon-Levitt playing with puppies. And it's just Joseph Gordon-Levitt in a puppy pen, and they're all just like licking him. Like, that's Charles LeClaire. Charles LeClaire is just like the image of him, the Matrix image of him in like every, like, you know, teen girl's head is him just like playing with puppies, being like, aren't I just like the absolute sweetest boy you've ever seen in your entire life? Like, that's his energy. That's
his
vibe.
He's so hot and he's so safe.
Right.
There's not a hint of danger there.
No. But you know where there is danger? On the fucking track, because he he saves all of his danger for the fucking straights.
Yes, yes.
For the fucking for fast corners, late braking, and fucking straightaways.
So he's considered like one of the top. He's like prospect, they say he's guys, Verstappen like with a shitty car, basically. Right. And it's the experts say it's him. It's Russell. And now Norris has gotten his nose in there big time.
Big time.
But he's made a lot of mistakes. He crashes a lot. He is high risk, high reward. If you don't want like stress in your life, I would not like he puts it on pole in Monaco, but then he crashes and he can't even finish. Like, there's a lot of highs and lows. While dating him might be very pleasant and even keeled, the relationship of being a fan of his will be very tumultuous.
Right.
Very
right.
Up and down. Which brings us to the most stable pair of hands on the grid. who looks like he might be a dangerous boyfriend, like a little bit of danger. Like, I wouldn't want to leave him alone with my girlfriend. Definitely. But as a driver, very safe pair of hands.
Very true.
Carlos Sainz.
Yeah, we got Carlos Sainz Jr. Yeah, let's talk about some fucking pros. Pro number one, fucking gorgeous. Pro number two, fucking schnoz.
Huge nose.
Fucking huge nose.
Not bent like I like it, but, you know, beggars can't be choosers on this. Fucking Aryan, you know, grid.
That's right. Yeah, you know, with fucking George Russell's on the fucking grid, you have to take the Carlos Sainzes where you can get them.
Yes.
Yeah, those are really my only two. Those are the two biggest pros for me. No, I mean,
he has a beautiful relationship with his father.
He does have a beautiful relationship with his father. He's someone who, like, you kind of want to hate him because he's like comes from this racing background, and because he seems to have had like a fucking like a silver spoon, and he's been handed certain things, and it's kind of all been there. But then, like, he has this fucking great relationship with his dad, it seems like, and his dad seems to be such a fucking like legend. He also seems it's also nice that his dad was a rally car driver and not a Formula One car driver, because it's just once removed enough that it feels like, oh, I'm actually watching something new happening. I'm actually watching like an extension of like an already like it's a legacy that already exists in this space, and now it's like expanding to this like fuller space. As opposed to someone who's like, you know, it's like you're always, it's like for Mick Schumacher, it's just like, well, you're never gonna be able to, you know, get out of that shadow. It's like your dad's the fucking goat. I mean, it's just like you're not gonna win 7 championships. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's just like it's just so not gonna happen. But with science, you kind of have this sense of like history of like, I'm actually watching it's something really, honestly, I feel like it's something fun to root for, of like the science legacy, the whole family. I'm rooting for the whole family when I root for him.
Yep. He also seems like he's very reliable. He makes mistakes in like free practice, it seems, but then he tightens it the fuck up in the race. He seems like, so Ferrari are notoriously bad strategists, but he seems to be on it always with the strategy and telling them what to do, and has a good head on his shoulder, seems smart. But the cons are he kind of, despite being really hot, I mean, he's kind of doesn't have the, I mean, he did fun stuff. He had a fun bromance with Lando Norris, and in that way, I think he might be kind of insidious. And got in Lando's head,
right?
And to beat his ass. But I mean, he's just kind of boring. Doesn't seem very interesting.
He's a bit of a wet blanket. He's a little bit of like, he has these like vlogs. He does like vlogs, which are just like, they're fucking boring. I mean, they're just like brutal to sit through. You're just like kind of like, come watch me like on my day. And you just kind of like, he tries to be charming. He tries to like break the ice, but it's just like a little bit. It just kind of falls flat
a little bit stiff.
He's a little stiff. He's a little stiff, which I think is like ultimately like there's a, you know. Yeah, he doesn't really. He's been sheltered. I think there's an element of that, which is just like you're kind of like you've been a little bit sheltered. You think that this is cool. You think that this is cool. And it's like you're so much cool. You're actually so cool that like you doing a vlog is like not the medium with which like your coolness is gonna fly.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of a lame medium. It would be like if he had a podcast.
It'd be like if you had a Formula One podcast.
Yeah,
fucking it's like, lame.
Dude, you don't need it. So next up is we should just skip that. The next one is Sergio Perez. So let's start with the nice things. Yes. Seems like a pleasant guy. Seems like a nice, pleasant guy.
Sweetheart, sweet dad vibes. He's like, he's a Formula One driver, but he still has a double chin, which we, you know, I don't know how physically it's possible to weigh 100 pounds.
To have 0% literally body fat.
0% body fat, weigh truly 85 pounds, and have a double chin. I mean, how does he fucking do it?
He looks a lot like Tom Cruise with a double chin, who's one of my favorite actors. Great front left tire maintenance. If you like great tire maintenance, if that's what excites you, if what gets you up in the morning is like, oh, that tire maintenance. Hold on, Brian's just yawning at my take. that Sergio Perez is a guy from you. He's also from Mexico. He's the only driver from Mexico. And, you know, Stroll and Latifi are them. So if you're from North America and you want to, like, rep someone from that hemisphere, right, Perez is the best guy you're going to get.
Right. I mean, it's interesting because it's like, we're going to talk about some of our cons for Perez, but it's just like, I don't really know exactly. It's like, our cons for Perez are really that, like, he's in a cursed seat, and he's in, like, a kind of, like, fucked position, and he just kind of, like, and we made a video about him, and everyone was saying that we're stupid for saying that he fucking, like, isn't rising to the occasion of being in the best car, and that he's, like, not fucking, like, handling his shit this year. He's kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, those are our cons, right?
Our cons are that he's not delivering.
He's not delivering.
And people, like, he's a fine driver, it seems. He's fine.
Yes.
And I think that really pisses people off.
Right.
Why does it piss you off that, like, the guy, he's objectively just fine?
Right.
So I don't know what to say. Like, I don't know what to tell you. He's losing badly to Max Verstappen. And he's losing to Bottas. And he's been qualifying poorly. And he crashes. And he gets dumb penalties. He does the same mistakes multiple times. He cuts corners. He bumps people off the track in the same race, like Leclerc. He bumped Leclerc twice off the track in, I think it was Hungary or Austria, one of those. And so, I mean, he's just...
It was in Austria. Yeah, he's been racing in Formula 1 for 10 years. So it's like a little bit like, if you're still making these mistakes, it's kind of... What's your excuse if you're making... They seem like early year mistakes are the mistakes that he's making.
Well, and it's, it is... I think the seat is not... I don't like to call it cursed because that lets Christian and that culture off the hook.
Right.
How they've gone through a lot of good drivers. Ricardo ran for the hills, Gasly, Albon. I mean, they just tear through these guys. Fiat. They have this driver program, and it's just one after the other. So
right. They toss it out. They tossed out their fucking driver program for Perez.
Yeah.
And he's been doing the best of, of all of them so far. I mean, he's getting that second year. So on some level he's broken it, but he's just like it's interesting because it's just like we compare him a lot to Bottas. And I guess it's just like when you compare him to Bottas, to me it's like a no-brainer as to who is going to be your fucking guy, because Bottas, there's just so much more there to fucking like latch onto. But I think Perez does have, he's got this huge following, partly because he's the only Mexican driver. So, like, the Mexican fans fucking love him. And he's been, in Formula 1 for a long time, and so he's finally getting his shot. But as I see it, I mean, it's like, and we're newer fans, but it's just like he's getting his shot, and he's not fucking, like, he's not slam dunking the shot.
Yeah.
He's not hitting the shot. He's bricking the shot right now.
Well, and he's getting one
not,
more.
He's not airballing it. He's hitting rim. He's hitting rim, but it's not. He's only had like one swoosh, and even that one
in Baku
wasn't even a swoosh.
Lewis hit the fucking magic button.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's like he wouldn't have won that race. It's like, and Max's fucking wheel blew out. So it's like even his one like kind of like, but then in Baku, it's like, well, these two things that are completely by chance and would not happen, like 9 times out of 10 happened, and that's what got him that win.
All right, so next up is number 4 is Norris.
We got Lando fucking Norris. And let me, it's interesting because it's like we've talked about our guys, and for some reason, Lando has just like become my guy. And I just fucking love me some fucking Lando Norris. And we've talked about it a little bit, but I think it's like, what do I like about Lando? I like
What do you see of yourself in Lando, Brian?
I think I see like, Raw talent. I see raw talent in Lando.
Wow. And you know what else he sees? He sees arrogance. That's the other thing.
I do see. And you know what? It's like, I am a fuck. I have some fucking arrogance in me. And it's like,
showcased by his previous statement.
It's like, you know what I see when I see Sweet Baby Lando? It's like, you know, it's like, for those of you who don't know, which is actually nice that people kind of don't know, but I'm an actor, and I am currently filming a television show. I'm a series regular on a television show on Epix called Bridge and Tunnel. We're shooting our second season. That's why I'm in a hotel room on our TikToks. But, you know, it's like, I went to, like, in high school, like, I was the fucking, like, I went to a theater camp. I was, like, immediately just got, like, all the leads in all the musicals. I was just, like, I was the fresh fucking kid on the block. And I got in there, and I was just, like, everyone was just, like, here you go, sir. Like, everyone's just, like, you're amazing to me. And then I went to Carnegie Mellon, which is, like, the best, other than Juilliard, is, like, the best acting program in the country. I did a national tour when I was, like, 18 years old. And I was, like, I've crushed every level of, like, in institutions being an actor. It's just been like, okay, like, I've crushed it. And then I graduated and I moved to Los Angeles and the real world took a shit on my face. And
okay, but that hasn't happened to Lando.
Okay, but I think I when I see Lando, I'm kind of like, I part of me is like, I'm living vicariously through him, because it feels like, on some level, it's like, that would have been me if, like, a couple things had gone differently. You know what I mean? It was just like, he just hit the ground fucking running. He was like, I think that on some level, like, when I graduated from college, like, I wasn't ready to be, like, a professional. It took me, like, 7 years of, like, grinding and doing parts here and there and fucking, like, getting dropped by my agents and having to get new agents. And it's been, like, a fucking grind for these past 7 years. And, like, I got my biggest job during the pandemic, and all of a sudden now I'm in like a new place in my career. I don't have to have a side job. It's like all of a sudden, and now I'm ready to throw all that away to become a full-time F1 podcaster. But when I see Lando, there's something about Lando that kind of, it feels like, I don't know. I think I get this. It's like fantasy time for me. It's like fantasy time for, like,
it's like if you never had adversity and you just could be a douche for the rest of your life.
But I think it's like, that's why I think last week was so, it was also like another, like, was important
last
for
week,
me.
In case you didn't know, is he disobeyed his team's instruction. He was in first place and he didn't want to, and it started raining.
Right.
He didn't want to put on the wet tires. And
you know how I feel? You know how I feel right now? It's kind of like, how I feel is that, like, I know that, like, shit's coming for him. It's kind of like right now he has this, like, this is just, everything's great. Like, nothing's gone wrong ever. Yeah. And I'm like, no. And I think, like, wise adult Brian is like, no, like, shit's going to come for you. Like, you're going to have some shit. And I feel like I'm, like, ready. I'm, like, waiting with open arms to be like, it's okay, Sweet Baby Lando. Like, big brother Brian's got you. Uh-huh. And, like, don't let it get you down too much because – you know, it's like, it's okay. Like, you were kind of a dick, as I was. Like, I was kind of a dick. I needed to get shit on, and I needed to have, like, you know, a 7-year period of just, like, kind of like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? Just, like, scraping by when it came to my career, that I just feel like there's a level of, I'm excited to watch Lando's right now. He's been on this, like, he's been on this ride, but I'm like, there's gonna be some downs, and I'm ready to ride that roller coaster with you, my boy.
Okay, so there you go. That's unpacking.
And so that's why you, yeah,
that's unpacking Brian's 20s, part one.
That's
sure.
Those were my 20s.
Yeah,
my 20s were a harsh, rude awakening that hey, guess what, booby, your life in school is not your life outside of school.
Yeah, so he's a great talent. He is, like, arguably, he's taking, like, Charles Leclerc's spot probably for, like, Baby Goat. If you're a Gen Z, I mean, you have to root for him. He's the Lewis Hamilton of the internet. like in F1, like he's number one on the grid in that way. If I were to ascribe a musician to him, it would be Billie Eilish, because he's just the pros and cons, like all like talented, but they're both like just Gen Z, just they represent that whole generation for their field.
Right.
And he's very, yeah, but he has spoiled brat vibes. He has arrogant vibes. Hopefully this was a humbling experience. I remember when they did the test that Vettel nailed. They were like quizzing him on championship drivers. He's like, I don't care about those old fucks. You know, he had that whole vibe for him. But if you're into that, if you're into that, like, I'm young, fuck, okay, boomer vibe.
Yeah.
Lando
is your
guy. He has
such okay boomer energy. He has,
everybody that's over the age of 26 is a boomer to him.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a fuck what they say.
Science is the oldest person that he thinks is cool.
Science is pushing.
And
he's
pushing it.
Yeah. Next, do you have anything you want to say more about Norris?
No, I just think, but like, I just also, it's like, I just, he's so fucking good. And watching him, it's just like, he's my favorite person to watch drive, just in terms of his like actual, like, the actually watching his moves and his drives, like he's my favorite person to watch drive. He's my fave.
Well, he's arrogant and he can back it up. Yes. So he could back it up. Next up is Bottas. Now, if suffering is your kink, you know, I don't know if liking him makes you a sub or a dom. Like if watching him, you're like, yeah, bitch, take it, or like you're a sub and you're like a long suffering person, then you must really like him. I wrote down his artist is Britney Spears, but like the current era where he's stuck in a where she's stuck in a conservatorship.
That's right.
You know, he was a talented driver. He was a shining star. And then he went to Mercedes, and now he's just kind of this bottom. He's this beta. He's this gimp for Toto, and he's not as good as Lewis Hamilton, but, you know, nobody is. And that's been his fate. And the con is, you know, I wouldn't root for Bottas if you, like, have enough sadness in your life, and you don't need that shit. Like, you know, only root for Bottas if you have a fucking easy life. And you just need something to be upset about.
Yeah, but it's also, there's something about him that it does feel like it's like rooting for the Mets. Because it's like,
it's masochism to root for him.
Right. It is. And it's like, as like a Mets and Jets fan, it's like, I understand why you root for Bottas. Because it's like rooting for Hamilton. It's like, that's rooting for the Yankees.
Yeah.
Rooting for Bottas, it's like, that's rooting for the Mets. It's like, you're in the same town. You're both living in Mercedes, in Mercedesville, but like you're rooting for the other guys. You're rooting for the guys that like don't fucking win the shit, and like and it's easy to root for Hamilton.
It's easy to root for Beyonce. It's hard to root for Britney after she shaves her head.
Right.
And you want, like, it's hard. It's just hard.
Well, it's like how our friend Billy Green used to say, like, because he rooted for Old Dominion, which is a shitty D1 school. And then people would give him shit about rooting for Old Dominion. And he'd be like, oh, well, who do you root for? And they'd be like, Duke. And he'd be like, well, that must be easy.
Right.
He was like, oh, that must be so hard to root for Duke. Right. It must be so hard to root for UNC. He's like, I have to do something hard, which is root for Old Dominion. Rooting for Bottas is difficult. It's hard. Because it's a painful experience, and you're a real fucking fan. And as a New Yorker who roots for shitty teams my entire life, I understand. It's very appealing to me to root for someone like Bottas.
Yeah, you want him to come out the other side. Jesus.
What?
It's like we've been doing this for so long, and the next one is Verstappen, and it's just.
I know. So we've done the whole fucking grid, and now we have our final 2, and we're exhausted, but we're going to fucking bring the heat because we got our fucking two poppies of this year. We got Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton. And because Max Verstappen is currently in second place, we're starting with him. So Max Verstappen, let's start with the pros.
He's an incredible driver.
Yeah.
And he's a – I mean, you like Lando is your favorite driver to watch. He is my favorite driver to watch. He gives zero fuck. He takes no quarter. Every time he tries anything, I have this fear that it's going to end in glory. It's either going to end in glory or a fucking huge crash.
Yeah.
Because of experience. I haven't been watching for a long time, but that's just sort of the vibe. Like, he's either going to get it or we're going to crash. And it's just, it's like, because here's the thing is, you know, when you watch like regular TV shows, like normal TV shows, like on networks, on regular networks, you're kind of, in CSI or SVU, you know the main characters are not going to die, right?
Right.
But then, you know, then Game of Thrones came around and you're like, anybody can get it at any time.
Right.
Anybody can get killed. Main character, doesn't matter. And that's the feeling with Max. Like, anybody could die. He, you know, at any given moment. It's tense all the time. He might not make it to the end. You might not make it to the end if by you meaning your favorite driver. So he is a fucking killer. And he just adds a level of tension that isn't there without him.
It's on some level, it's like, thank God for Max Verstappen, because if it wasn't for Max Verstappen, we just have Lewis Hamilton would just be winning every single race and there would be nothing to root for this year. There would just be nothing to fucking watch without a Max Verstappen. He is that bitch. He is fucking that fucking bitch. And I will say, I'd be remiss if all of a sudden this week there's not a whole new thing to talk about when it comes to rooting and loving Max Verstappen, which is this photo that
might have been photoshopped.
I don't give a fuck if it. I know, I saw that too. It was like, if it was photoshopped, like, bravo to you, sir. But there was this photo that's been circulating the internet of Max Verstappen at a gas station in Poland, is what it says, filling up his fucking car as he's in a suit, and that's just like, he's at the end of a long night and he's got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. Which I don't think that he would do, because it's like filling up your, it's like, that's so dangerous. It's so
smoking a cigarette by a gas station. No, this
by
no
a gas while fucking pumping gas into your car. But that picture is
but
legendary.
But it definitely because he was in a Honda, like it was him. But they definitely added the cigarette.
Is that what the Photoshop was?
I think they added the cigarette. But
still legendary.
It's still legendary. And I think the thing about Max is here's one of the main themes for us. If you don't like dicks, then you're not going to like him. Right. But if you'd rather have a dick than a fake nice person, then like, you know where you're at with him. Like, he's not, he doesn't give a shit about PR. He doesn't give a shit about his image. He just fucking says what he thinks and he does what he wants, and he's just this alpha male, like, I want my corners gangster.
Yeah, he's and a fucking savage.
He's
psycho.
Just savage. And if you like that, if you like there, if that turns you off, then he's not for you. But I think you got to at least appreciate the honesty of it. Like, the savage honesty. Like, you're not, there's no spin with him, except when it's the spin on Lewis's head when he fucking mounts him.
It's true. There's no, it's like I talked about it earlier in the episode. It's just like when someone, it's the opposite of what I don't like about Ocon. It's like Ocon kind of like wants to like be a dick, but then also wants to like get the pity points. Like, Matt doesn't care about you not liking him. It feels like
he doesn't care if nobody came or nobody rooted for him. Like, he says, I appreciate the Orange Army, but they're incidental to him.
Right.
I think that
he's
I think that, and it's so interesting, and this sport is really like, it keys into human psychology in such an interesting way, because like Ocon had all this motivation to get there for like financial reasons to
right.
free the burden,
right?
The financial burden from his parents, and he's kind of done that, and he's even by his own admission, he doesn't feel the same pressure. Like Max has no financial pressure,
right?
It's all like, talk about daddy issues. Like his, if you're into somebody who's like trying to right the wrongs of their father, you know what I mean? Trying to like accomplish something that their father never could. And his father had a good F1 career, but he didn't have a great one.
So yeah, his father was Bottas.
His father was basically Bottas. So it's just like, you can create wounds and chips out of anything.
Yeah.
And the fact that Max has a bigger fucking drive and chip on his shoulder than Ocon, who beat, like, because that's the thing, is Ocon beat him in F3.
Right.
Like, because Ocon had the drive to get to F1.
Right.
But somehow that primal thing, like, daddy never won a world championship, is more powerful
than
I came from nothing.
Right, and I'm poor.
Like, thinking about, like, the motivational sauce.
Yes.
Because in your head,
daddy never won a world championship. It's like, that's the thing that fucking, like, is repeating in his head. He's like, daddy never won a world championship, and Maxi fucking will.
Yes. And his dad, and just, and the other thing is, here's the other thing, is Ocon had, like, loving, supportive parents.
Yeah.
So he might not need it as much.
Right, he doesn't need it as much.
Emotionally. Whereas, like, Max's dad admitted that he left him at a fucking gas station when he made a mistake in a karting.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't, like, some journalist figured that out. He just admitted it. Max was,
right.
Like, yeah, it happened.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he's like, I did that shit.
So there's an interesting.
And we get to benefit. But it's like, the thing is, like, as fans, like, we get to benefit from that, because what we get to see is this guy who's, like, unfucking believable on the track. He's so fucking good.
But we'll see, like, if his take no prisoners attitude is going to actually, it's going to win him races, but let's see if it wins him the whole shebang. We'll see.
Right, yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. So we love Max Verstappen, but not everybody does, because he's not nice, and you better be nice. Don't be a bully. Kill yourselves. That's basically the vibe of people online. Don't be a bully. Don't be a bully. Kill yourselves.
100%.
So last,
now
but definitely not least,
yes,
Sir Lewis Hamilton.
That's right, Sir Lewis Hamilton.
So I want to start this one off by saying, Brian, you know the movie Hustlers, right?
Yes.
Lewis Hamilton reminds me of the movie Hustlers. And because I started watching the movie Hustlers, and I was like, okay, what is this movie? Why am I? Okay, it's Constance Wu. She's a stripper. Oh, there's Julia Stiles. Okay. They're getting into some scam, I guess. Okay, like, all right, I'm watching. And I'm just not getting it. And then Jennifer Lopez steps on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh my God. And the whole movie clicks in its place. And I'm like, this woman is a fucking star. And she elevates the whole fucking movie. She just puts the whole movie on her back. And she just brings a gravitas and a star quality. And when she's doing the thing on the stripper pole and she's wearing her mink and she's just being fucking J-Lo, I'm like, this movie was like floating away to me.
Right.
And then she just fucking just seized my attention and brought a fabulousness to it. I mean, how many movies is Denzel in that would just go straight to DVD if you replace him with a good actor?
Right.
And I think that's kind of that. And F1 knows that they have that in him.
Mm-hmm.
That he brings a star quality, a fabulousness.
Yes. Yeah.
A je ne sais quoi, J-Lo, Denzel, just
like.
Lady Cristiano Gaga.
Ronaldo. I mean, like, he's that guy. He's like, it's Cristiano Ronaldo. It's Tiger Woods. It's LeBron James. It's the people that are.
But he's more fabulous. He's got like Elton John, like
right,
just fabulousness. But yes, he has this star quality. He's more than just the best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, think about where F1 would be if it was like Kimi Raikkonen winning 7 and not talking to anybody and not,
right.
not give, just fucking winning and going home and drinking to death, drinking himself to death.
Right, F1
would be in a rougher spot. So he the pros of him, other than he's a fantastic driver, is that he you know, brings obviously a diversity and, you know, F1 says we race together. Him and Vettel, like, actually do the work and
right.
and push for diversity, push for climate activism, actually, you know, don't just pay lip service to them. The pros of him is that he actually is a star and has right. the charisma and the just F1 would be way less fun and fabulous without him.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely like, he is that bitch. Like, he is that fucking, like, he's that fucking guy. I mean, like, you fucking hit the nail on the head. He backs it up. He's the best driver on the fucking grid, arguably. He has been for a very long time. He has been since the beginning of his career. He bursts onto the scene, out the fucking gate, fucking crushing it. He comes from the background that he does. He
comes from nothing.
He comes from a very humble background.
That's just one of the things about him, though. He's
one of the things about
multitudes.
Exactly. He's. I mean, it is fucking crazy that he's like. There are no black drivers in Formula One. I mean, it's just like he's the only. Like, he's the one, and he's the fucking, and he's the man.
And he's
the fucking guy. He's the guy. It's like Tiger Woods, and it's like Tiger Woods without the, like. You know, the fall from grace that Tiger had.
And also, Tiger was cool because he showed a lot of emotion, a lot of fire. Like, that mm-hmm. that was what was cool about him. But Tiger was kind of a nerd.
Tiger right, well, is so kind is, of a nerd. So is, I understand what you're saying. So, but like, it's interesting because it's like, so kind of is Lewis. Lewis is, there's an element, but it's interesting because like there's Lewis the person, and there's Lewis like the brand, there's Lewis the like, you know, there's Lewis, Sir Lewis Hamilton. I think like there is an element that like it is, I think someone that it's something that he's created. He's created this image for himself.
And that goes into the cons, I think.
I think that does go into the cons because it's like the cons are that he's like a little bit like, he's tough to grasp onto. It's like, who's in there? Who are you, man? It's like a little bit like
he's inscrutable.
Yeah, he's so conscious of like, you know, the position that he holds and how famous he is and what he means for the sport, what he means for like just representation, for people seeing him excel and succeed in this position. He's so fucking, I mean, he's so much more famous than every other driver. It's like no one knows any fucking Formula One drivers except him, like for the common man. Like, he's the one that people know. Mm-hmm. And it comes with it a huge degree of pressure, and it's just, you're very aware of that when he's, you know, giving interviews and doing all this stuff.
It's not to the point where
Yeah, he's not natural, and it feels a little bit, sometimes it can just feel a little bit like, you know.
Scripted.
Yeah,
he's like a
scripted.
Politician.
Yeah, you can, exactly, and you can't, like, hold on to that, but you can't grasp on, you're trying to, like, you know, leech onto him, like, okay, and you're trying to find your entry point, and sometimes it can be a little bit tough to find that with him.
Yeah.
And then also, I think,
yeah.
Yeah, and the other reason why it's like in the beginning, it's interesting because like in the beginning of the season, it was kind of like, well, he's just fucking keeps winning and it's boring when he keeps winning. Yeah. So like the cons of him is that like, fuck, man, like it's like you've already done it. You're the fucking goat. Can we make this interesting again?
It's like, and Superman, this year, without the kryptonite.
Right. And it's interesting because it's like as newer fans, you know, we've only really known the him dominating era. And this year has been a very fun, you know, relearning why I am rooting for him. It's like, okay, it's fun to root for him because it's like, as they keep jockeying back and forth, in the beginning of the season, I was like, just please, like anyone but Hamilton. Just like, just fucking, can someone else win for once? And now I'm like, if Hamilton wins this year, I'll be fucking thrilled. It'll be fucking amazing if he wins this year.
Because
he had to work for it. And honestly, like, to me this year, if he wins, it's a huge, Like, this was Max's season to lose, honestly. That's how it feels to me. It's kind of like, this is Max's season, and if Lewis winds up winning, it'll be really, I know that it's not an under, but it's like, to me, it's an underdog. Yeah, if he wins, it's the underdog winning this year.
But the stars have really not been aligning for Max with Silverstone and the Baku tire blowout, and he's had
I know, but still, it's like, the car is the car, and he's in Mercedes hasn't dominated races like Red Bull and Max have dominated races.
Yeah. So, and Lewis has been making more mistakes. He's been showing himself to be more human.
Yeah. It's interesting. He did that thing about like how Max must be feeling the pressure, but it seems like this year Lewis is feeling the pressure because he's the one who keeps fucking like making kind of like silly errors.
Well, because I feel like he wants to get this eighth and just get the fuck out, so he can like go on with his life.
Right.
Because he has unlike Max, who has this singular focus. Like, if you like your guys, if you like your people, that if you want a guy that's just like laser focused, who doesn't care about anything else, just singular, who's dedicated, like Max is your guy. But Lewis is the opposite. Lewis is a master of all trades.
Yeah,
he's not a jack of all trades. He's a master of all trades. He's fashion icon, race car driver, civil rights activist, planet activist. He did a song with Christina Aguilera. I mean,
yeah.
Love it when you lay the pipe down, pipe down, pipe down. And he sounded way too good.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, so if you want to just have, if you want to just appreciate greatness, because like it's easy to say, oh, you like Lewis Hamilton, you're a front runner, you're basic, like your favorite band being the Beatles.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's the same reason why I root for LeBron, because it's just like, I want there to be greatness in my lifetime. I don't want I don't want the best to be like before I was born. What fun is I want to watch the I want to be lucky enough to have Lewis Hamilton in my life, you know?
Totally. But I think it's interesting, it's like, for me this year, I know I've just said this, but beforehand I was kind of like, I was not a huge LeBron fan until he came back, won with Cleveland, and now I'm like full on like back on LeBron. It's like I need as a long suffering Mets and Jets fan, I need the dip. And this year has been enough of a dip that I'm like back on the fucking Lewis train.
Yeah.
And I'm fucking rooting for him. And I'm also, you know, I'm rooting for Max too. But honestly, now at this point, I think I am kind of rooting for Lewis a little bit more.
Mm.
If I'm honest with myself.
I'm rooting for Max because I just think I'm scared if they don't win. They wished away their sons and their daughters for they've pushed all their chips into the table for this year.
Right.
And I just need Max to win, and then I can just stop stressing about it so much. Because I literally stress about, like, he must be going insane.
Yeah.
I guess that was.
That's it. That's our fucking pod, baby. We're releasing. This was part two, but we've been fucking podcasting for two. Are we fucking Joe Rogan?
Yeah.
Because this was a fucking long one, and I have to be up at tomorrow at 8 a.m. So it's time for this little fucking Jew boy to go to bed. And thank you all for listening. Please, if you're not subscribed to the podcast, please subscribe. If you're listening on Spotify, please subscribe there. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts there, follow us on TikTok at The Red Flags Pod, also Instagram. And if you're listening to the pod and you're enjoying it, post about it on social media. Get the word out.
Tell
your friends. All the other F1 podcasts are fucking boring and ours isn't. And we love you all so much. Be well. Later, Vankas.
Fluffy bread, fresh tortillas, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real, but Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and seriously, great taste. Made from a new recipe using heart-healthy olive oil and resistant wheat starch that acts as a prebiotic fiber to promote gut health, Hero Bread products have more of the dietary fiber and protein you want without the net carbs and sugar you don't. There's something for every craving. Sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas, plus monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites with no compromise. Like the 2-gram net carb Hero croissant or the 1-gram net carb Hero cheddar biscuit. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout. That's HEROPOD at HERO.CO.